Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Hey, I'm back, and you're back. The show is back. No shows last week. That was strange. That's never happened. Since I started the show, there's always been... Wait, maybe I took a break in December. Never mind. Maybe it's not completely unprecedented. I took a holidays off, but first time since... For a long time, there hasn't been an episode, and I'm sorry. But I was working in Toronto all last week on a big radio show, and the hours were long. I was up at 5 a.m., I was home at 7 p.m. most days, and I just didn't have time. I'm sorry. But I'm back, and we have new episodes. In fact, this episode is one of those new episodes. John Carter Cash is on the program to talk about his dad, Johnny Cash, a little bit about his mom, June Carter Cash, both of whom have passed away, and both of whom were a tremendous influence on my life, and I'm a big fan of Johnny Cash in particular, and I got to see him once live. And it was very exciting, and I'm excited. And there's a new Johnny Cash record that came out. It's sort of unearthed material that that John Carter Cash discovered. And the album is called Out Among the Stars. It was recorded at Sessions in 1981 and 1984. You'll hear more about it, obviously, in just a little bit. But I'm excited about I'm excited to talk to John Carter Cash about this and for you to hear it. And I'm excited to play you a song from this album, Out Among the Stars, on this episode. It's a short interview. I didn't have a lot of time with him, but you get a song and other stuff too. So here it is, myself and John Carter Cash in conversation. Enjoy. This week, the Bookshelf Cinema is screening Philomena, American Hustle, The Great Beauty, La Dolce Vita, Omar, August Osage County, and more. At the E-Bar, Nicholas Ruddick launches his new novel, How Lavetta Got Her Baby, on Thursday, March 20th. That's in the evening. And in the bookstore this Saturday, March 22nd at 11 a.m., Kelly Alexander reads from her new work, My Year Off Men. The Bookshelf is an independently owned culture hub located at 41 Quebec Street in Guelph. Visit bookshelf.ca for more information.
I asked Hank Snow if he wrote I'm Moving On. He said, yes, I wrote it all. That big eight-wheel rolling down the track means your true loving daddy ain't coming back. I'm moving on, I'll soon be gone. You were flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on.
John Carter Cash is an accomplished American record producer, children's author, and musician. He is the only child of the late legendary couple June Carter and Johnny Cash, whom he often worked with both in the studio and out on the road, and he recently discovered a treasure trove of unreleased, neglected music featuring his parents. On March 25th, Columbia Records' Legacy imprint will release one of these finds, a stirring and strong Johnny Cash album recorded by Billy Sherrill over sessions in 1981 and 1984. The record is called Out Among the Stars, and here now to discuss it further is its compiler and founder, John Carter Cash. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you? Definitely good to talk to you about this.
I'm very well. Thank you for your time. Now, where in the world are you, first of all?
Right now, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. This is my home. I've made it my home for my whole life. So I'm an old Nashville veteran.
Well, that's great. Things are well in Nashville?
Yeah, definitely so. It's a beautiful day. We're warming up a little bit, so it's not bad at all.
All right, excellent. Now, this will mean very little to you, but I had the good fortune of seeing you perform with your parents at Massey Hall in 1996. I was 19 years old.
Wow.
Meant the world to me. I was a huge fan of your family's work. So
yeah, I remember that show.
You remember that show?
I remember that night. Yeah, I sure do.
Now, what resonates with you about that evening?
Not too much, but I remember the performance. I remember the backstage area. I remember the show itself. And, I mean, we played hundreds of shows a year sometimes, but I definitely remember that evening.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, it was a great one, and it's something I'll never forget for sure. Now, I wonder if you can first of all tell us how you found this album, Out Among the Stars, because I think it's a unique story.
Well, my parents, they were sort of pack rats. They never threw anything away, and all through their time together, they stored away various things in a vault at their office. It was a random collection in some ways. I mean, there were like the keys to every city in North America, you know, that were put in this vault. There were, there was a camel saddle from Saudi Arabia. I mean, it was an amazing collection of artifacts and random things, but among this were hundreds of audio tapes, 2-inch reels, 24-track tapes, and and some mixtapes also. And on these tapes, I mean, were my parents' life and their history that they created together. There were the 8-track recordings from the original Johnny Cash show. I mean, there was so much there, and it was within these, you know. These tapes, we found a lot of great treasures, a lot of beautiful recording, things that my dad did, just him and the guitar back in the 70s. It was sort of foreshadowing what he would do later with Rick Rubin.
Right.
Lots of gospel recordings. I mean, so much that was there. And, Dad's dedication and spirit to his artistry was sort of chronicled within these findings. I think that Columbia knew of these recordings. Of course they did, but literally they were put on the back shelf and they were forgotten. And then suddenly they're out in the forefront. We're looking at this body of work that Dad did with Billy Sherrill, and we're like, this is a beautiful record. This is something that needs to come out, that people need to hear, that Dad would have wanted people to hear.
I was just going to say, and you mentioned that Columbia put it on the back shelf. I'm just curious. And I know you need to be diplomatic about this, but what does that story or that aspect of the story tell us about Columbia's vision or maybe lack thereof when it came to your dad's music in the 80s? In the 80s? Like, what does that tell us?
Well, you know, I mean, Columbia pretty much at this point wasn't interested in Johnny Cash in 1984. They didn't know what to do with Dad as an established, long-standing artist. They didn't have a vision for him. They didn't, you know, and I mean, nowadays, in retrospect, we look back and we see the whole picture and we go, I mean, the guys at Sony are like, you know, it's the worst decision that we ever made, you know, our predecessors ever made. And I think they're well aware of that now. It was an urban cowboy phase and all these things. And they were trying to figure out what to do with an artist like Johnny Cash. But his spirit of creativity was still there, still endured. It was so strong.
Yeah.
And it's very evident when we look through these recordings.
Yeah, and I also was struck by the fact that, you know, I'm very familiar with every area of your dad's work, but it always strikes me that his voice is always kind of rises above the production, but like whatever era he's working in, his voice is always there, and you can hear it in everything. His phrasing, like it's all just, it's him. It's the essence of him is there. But how would you compare the kind of, what I would describe as kind of 80s lushness versus the sparseness that he went on to explore with Rick Rubin in those recordings?
Well, I think it's all a viable part of his career, you know, where he was. He was searching. He was trying to figure out what to do, and he was with a producer that had this certain sound, you know, this Nashville sound. And so that's there, and we didn't want to take away from that. You know, we wanted to exhibit that and show that, be proud of the music that he made. But we had a chance to go in and record some new music for these recordings. What a blessing that did. Marty Stewart played the original guitars on these recordings, and I heard it, and I said, Marty, your guitar playing now is better. Why don't you come in and play guitar and replace your old guitar? And he did, and he replaced his mandolin also. And so there is some new music that has been put on these recordings, but for the most part, tried to stay true to it because it's, you know, I mean, it's great. It's a wonderful production. It's powerful, you know, and we didn't want to take away from it. So hopefully when the listener hears it, you know, it's seamless. That's what I'm praying for.
What to you are the biggest revelations on this record for yourself as someone who knows your family materials so well, but also if you can be objective, like what do you think a fan listening here will most be surprised by?
You know, I think that the listener will be intrigued by my father's voice, and you can hear the clarity in Dad's spirit. It's very spirit. You can hear that in these recordings. He had, you know, gone through some struggles in the early '80s with addiction, and he went through Betty Ford Center in late '83, and he came out of Betty Ford, and he was totally focused on his life, spirit, you know, and with his family, and that's the man I'm reminded of when I hear this, you know. Hmm. So it's all there. You can hear that in these recordings. That's what I believe people find most exciting is the vibrance, you know, the integrity in Dad's spirit.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, I alluded to this earlier. His voice is very strong here, and clearly having some fun when the song calls for it. Is there anything about the lyrical content in this era or the songs he chose to cover that you think speaks to something about his spirit as well?
Well, there's songs that he wrote, that there's like I Came to Believe, which is such a beautiful song about his faith, that he actually wrote while he was in the Betty Ford Center. There's Baby Ride Easy, which my sister Carlene brought to my parents. You can hear their spirit, you know, my mother and father singing together, and I think it's as good as Jackson. You know, I'm moving on, the old Hank Snow song, right, with my dad's duet with Waylon Jennings is on the record. I mean, it's exciting, it's moving, it's quick, but there's so much else here. I mean, there's great songs. Of course, She Used to Love Me a Lot. You know, we hear my dad, he's in spirit, and then, you know, sounding better than he ever did. Mm-hmm. And what a great song, too. So, I mean, there's so much there. There really is.
Okay. I have read in pieces previewing this release that you've suggested that there might be even more coming. When you say there's other albums like this one that could come out at some point, can you tell us anything about those at this point? Are they from the same vintage, or you say there's a vault, so that seems to suggest there might be a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, there is more music. There's been a lot released already. The bootleg series that came out, the personal file. Mm-hmm. These were all things that we found. You know, and there's the next bootleg series may contain more of these recordings that nobody's ever heard, that, you know, they're sort of tucked away. So yeah, there is more music. There's a lot there. There's also stuff Dad recorded with Bruce Rubin. So really excited to see it all come together.
All right, excellent. Now, we've spent so much time talking about this record as we were, you know, meant to do, and your parents. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what's coming up next for you.
Well, I've been working with Loretta Lynn, working on some music with her. Really excited about the record that I've done with her. Actually, we've done 5 records, and they're set in the can. It won't be long until some of those start coming out one at a time. And I'm doing some work with the Orbison Estate, and there's some old recordings that Roy did that will be coming out pretty soon. Working with Alex and Roy Jr. and Wesley on that, Roy's boys. And there's a lot that I'm doing, independent records going on. You know, I have a novel out, Lupus Rex, that I wrote. I'm excited about that. There's so much, you know, I'm just trying to stay creative.
Yeah, you sound like you're very busy. These Loretta Lynn records you're talking about, you say there's 5 of them? Are they all like a follow-up to the work she did with Jack White, or is he involved again?
Well, it's more sort of like a life work.
Oh.
You know, I produced it with her daughter, Patsy. I mean, there's all kinds of music. There's gospel records, there's Christmas records, she recut her hits. There's a record of new songs. There's a record of standards. I mean, it's an amazing compilation.
All right. Well, that's excellent. That's great. You sound like you've become a go-to guy when it comes to archival work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Well, once again,
yeah.
I want to let people know that once again, a new previously unknown Johnny Cash album called Out Among the Stars is out on March 25th via Legacy Recordings. And for more information, you can visit johnnycash.com or johncartercash.com. John, before we go, is it possible for you to choose a song from this new release by your dad that we could hear?
Yeah, definitely so. I personally would love to hear the single, which is She Used to Love Me a Lot.
Okay. Is there any particular reason that comes to mind other than the fact that it's a single?
It exhibits the record and what's going on with, you know, I mean, the full picture of this music and the spirit of it all. And Dad's voice is just so strong, and it's just a really cool song. It's unique. It shows the full spectrum of who Johnny Cash was. What a blessing that this is there.
All right, well, let's hear it. John Carter Cash, it's as I said earlier, a tremendous pleasure to speak with you. I wish you the best, and thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
I saw her through the window today. She was sitting in the Silver Spoon Cafe. I started to keep going, but something made me stop. She used to love me a lot. She looked lonely, and I knew the cure. Old memories would win her heart for sure. I thought I'd walk on in and I'd give it my best shot. She used to love me a lot. I sat down beside her and she smiled. She said, "Where have you been? It's been a while." She was glad to see me. I could almost read her thoughts. She used to love me a lot. She used to love me with a love that wouldn't die. Looking at her now, I can't believe I said goodbye. It would only take a minute to turn back the clock. She used to love me a lot. I remember how good it was back then. And I said it's not too late to start again. We could spend the night together, take up where we left off. She used to love me a lot. But I panicked as she turned to walk away. As she went out the door, I heard her say, "Yes, I'm in need of something, but something you ain't got. But I used to love you a lot." I thought she loved me with a love that wouldn't die. And looking at her now, I can't believe she said goodbye. Just left me standing there. I've never been so shocked. She used to love me a lot. She used to love me a lot. She used to love me a lot.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, V-I-S-H-K-R-E-A-T-I-V-E. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca, or if you're in the KW region, at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkhanna.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.